Well, they kind of drafted me to help with the RAM program.
Right.
I mean, the actual program that was handed out.
Oh, right. The physical
Yes,
piece of paper.
and they had meetings every week, and of course, Dr. Bob ran the meetings because he was, as most people considered, the father of the RAM, the Cry of the Wild RAM.
Now, did he write that, or did
No,
he
he
got
didn't.
somebody, he saw it and brought it
Frank
in?
Brink
Oh, right, that's right. I
wrote
recognize
it.
that name, yes. And then Dr. Bob said, oh, this would be great. Let's do it.
Well, there was a group of people that wanted to get it done, and they'd looked for a place, and they found that was a natural place down there. Well, at the RAM site is what it's still referred to, near Abercrombie, because the sound was so good, and the seating was built into the hillside.
Right. And I was typing up something the other day, and I said the RAM site, and then I tried to explain the RAM site is where the Cry of the RAM used to be held. And we still have that connection, even though, man, that thing quit running, what, 25 years or more ago? 30 years ago?
Gosh, I don't remember when.
That's Jenny talking.
Yeah,
Jenny.
I don't remember what year it was,
It
but
was,
it was more than 20 years ago.
right, for sure, more
Yeah,
than that.
but it ran for about 25 years.
And what it was, for people who don't know, is a play. They call it an outdoor drama, and that's where what it was. You went out there, and if it rained, you made sure you brought your rain gear because we used to rain a lot more in the summer back then, and swat the mosquitoes, and you'd watch, and they'd come up with their kayaks from the shore, and then they had that kind of towery building that was Sitka, and they'd shoot fireworks because that was
The battle,
the
right.
battle at Sitka. It was quite a drama.
Well, it was the history of the Russians coming to Kodiak and then moving to Sitka. And Baranov, of course, was the main character of the play.
And somebody would read parts of it, and then we would go to the next scene and kind of filled in bits and pieces, as
Well,
I recall.
nobody read anything. It was all a regular play.
I
And
thought they.
Dr. Bob played Klebnikov, who was kind of the narrator.
That's what I mean, the
Oh, okay.
narrator. Okay, the narrator. Then you were involved with the RAM for how long?
Oh boy, many years. Because then I married Jerry Wilson, and he played in it as Baranov, and he also directed it.
Right,
Right.
he was the person that was doing that when I kind of came into the scene in the late 70s.
Yeah, and then things changed in town, and it was hard to get people to commit for the whole summer.
Right, because it went on and on and on. It wasn't just like 2 nights.
Oh,
Oh,
right.
gosh.
Well, I mean, the practices went on, and the rehearsals were every night.
I think at that stage of the development of the RAM, it was a lifestyle, a summer lifestyle for a lot of
Yes,
people.
I think so.
It kind of engulfed their whole life
Yes,
because they were out there so much. It was like I think, a big family.
and they met friends that they
Sure.
wouldn't have had otherwise, and sang songs. It included dance, Russian dancing, and the balalaika players all got their start there. The Russian dancers got their start there. It was really a very community effort, big community effort.
I was going to say, yeah, big, like a whole community of its own. There were hundreds of people involved
Yes.
in it. It was a massive production.
And the businesses got behind it and contributed, so it was a big community affair.
Yeah, there were also, actually, that's one of the first, I mean, I guess when I first met Dr. Bob and Marion was when we moved here in 74. And we were buying the optometric practice, and they had a farewell dinner for the doctor that we were buying it from, and Marion and Bob were there. So that was the first time that I had met them. And then not too long after that, I joined a service organization called Beta Sigma Phi, which still exists, and went to I don't know if it was an arts council because I don't think it existed yet, a meeting, and Dr. Bob was there talking about service groups that could get involved with the RAM and by helping do programs and also selling refreshments during the intermission. So that's how I started going to those meetings and met him and got involved with that aspect.
Right. So it was like he kind of ran everything. I mean, he would just like, oh, I need somebody who can draft you along.
You mean for the cry of the round room?
Uh-huh.
Well, Dr. Bob was very community-minded, and when he'd see a need for something, it wasn't just the RAM. He loved the Cry of the Wild RAM, but the Arts Council, he was very instrumental in getting that started and hiring Jerry for the first executive director. He and Mary Holden came to Jerry and said, we have $5,000. Would you be a part-time director? And if you can find more money, you can have it. So that's how the Arts Council kind of got off the ground. But he also got the Kodiak Council on Alcoholism started, and mm-hmm. he was instrumental with the Bronhoff Museum. Gosh, you look around at the arts and humanities nonprofits, and you'll see Dr. Bob was behind a lot of them.
And I knew Dr. Bob through Rotary, and he was involved with Rotary. His father actually was one of the original founders of Rotary here, my understanding. And Dr. Bob forever would be the, what's that called? The program, right?
Program director, yeah.
Make sure we had somebody to speak or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we didn't have a speaker for whatever reason, or if it was a special Rotary occasion, we would sing these Rotary songs. And it's like, okay, Dr. Bob, but we all did it. And I mean, that was, I guess, kind of fun and kind of corny. You've been to those meetings, Nancy. You were there.
Uh-huh.
You had to sing some of those songs. And he just was. I mean, that was just Dr. Bob.
Yes, he was the person that brought in the programs forever, it seemed like. Until maybe the past 5 years when Lindsay took over that job. But I asked him why he did that. That was such a big responsibility. And he said because then he could bring people that he wanted people to hear. that made sense.
Absolutely.
That does make sense. I was thinking the Cry of the Wild Ram, this is tell you the differences. When I was in the Coast Guard, I was young coastie. My first summer here, my friend Linda, who I am still friends with all these years later, they didn't know what to do with the women who came. So, I mean, the first woman to come was still here. And so they had in the barracks, the rooms shared a bathroom. And so they were kind of adjusting to having women around. And so they would only let two women share the same bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to kind of juggle the housing or the barracks stuff around. And so when I got here, they said, oh, we don't have any place for you. Somebody came we weren't expecting. We have no place for you to sleep. I said, okay. I was young. What the heck? But they put me into what was the old BOQ, Bachelor Officers Quarter, this old rundown old building that was right smack in the middle of the base. And till they figured out what they were going to do. And so my friend Linda came, and she got to share the bathroom with me. So they were all happy because they got these two women sharing the bathroom. They don't have to deal with us. And so we were getting in the Cry of the Wild Ram. And we didn't have vehicles back then. So we used to hitchhike from the base out to the ram. Which, I don't know, it was a crazy time. We probably were totally naive and foolish. But okay, so we did that. And so we would go out to the ram. And we only did it for a little while because that was a lot of work to get a ride out there and then get a ride back. And when we were coming back once, and she still remembers it, and I remember it all the time because I see it again and again. We were walking back, right, kind of looking for a hitchhikey ride, and the road wasn't paved then. That's why they call it, joke about the cutoff road, was because that's where the pavement cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were walking back on the dusty old road. It was, you know, summer, and that there was so much dust in the air. You know, the sky was kind of that orangish color. And we thought, oh my gosh, this is so far, and this is so, I should think we should be out here all by ourselves. We're so out in the middle of nowhere. And it's basically right where Mill Bay Beach is. Okay. I mean, that one building was what, Zharoff's house, and I think that was like the only thing in that whole stretch for like miles and miles, it seemed. And we were out there thinking, oh, we're just like out in the middle of nowhere. And now every time I go out there and I look, I see all these houses and as things built up. It was so scary because we seemed like we were so far away, but in reality it wasn't. But back then it was. Because back then you'd say, oh, I don't want to go all the way out to Sears. That's way on the other side of town. And it was like right there where Total Interiors or Kodiak, whatever they call it now, Kodiak Furniture, right where that was. Yeah. And that was way on the other side of town. So there's a different perspective when we talk about those early years.
Definitely.
And so the auditorium, the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium, when Nancy talks about Jerry, she's talking about her husband. And that's who the auditorium was named after.
Right.
How did we get the auditorium? My understanding is Dr. Bob was the go-getter on this issue.
Yeah. Jenny, you probably were here then, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by that time I was working for community schools at the school district.
That's right, yeah.
So I was the person who worked with anybody who wanted to use school facilities for activities. And the Arts Council was already in existence and was going strong, and Jerry was leading it. And I was serving as a liaison from the school district to the Arts Council board. So I was a non-voting member. So that was early 80s. And so when the Arts Council was bringing in performing artists, made arrangements to do as much as we could with the visiting artists in the schools. And so I'm trying to remember now the series of events. Anyway, John Witteveen was the assistant superintendent at the time.
Noreen Thompson.
And Noreen Thompson.
Noreen Thompson.
Yeah, was superintendent. Yeah. And so they were gathering data about some kind of a performing arts facility. And, of course, leaned on the Arts Council and its members about how much community use there would be. And so we gathered a lot of data, and eventually the borough assembly, because they're actually the borough is the ones who own the facilities, appointed a design committee. And John Witteveen was instrumental in getting funding through the state as assistant superintendent. But it was, Dr. Bob was very involved in gathering support for the auditorium. I can't even tell you how many borough assembly meetings we all went to and testified about community use of facilities. But when we started this process about looking at options, when we had visiting artists, they were performing at schools, but they used to have to do their concerts in the old junior high gym or before it was remodeled because there was a stage in there.
That was the main school at that time. I mean, before it was the junior high gym, it was the main school gym and cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
And the Arts Council, may I jump in here?
Of course.
The Arts Council was planning to have some sort of a performing arts space, and the school was planning one for the school. So Dr. Bob and Jerry got the idea that there should be one and everybody concentrate on one. Mm-hmm. So they got together with the school, and it was the time that there was a lot of oil money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say that, but you beat me to it, yes.
Uh-huh. And our community, and maybe it was Kenai, one other one in the state, actually voted to have an auditorium and use state funds. So I think it was $10 million we got from the state to build this auditorium. So at that time, then they're going to make the main school into the middle school, and build a new main school. So they tore down all the stuff out of the gymnasium. Mr. Schott, who was the superintendent for many, many years here, and when I got here, he would personally make sure that a big canvas was rolled out every time that they were going to have a performance in that gym. And there was a stage off of the gym. And so when that was gone, then they had to use East Elementary. And that was a very bad situation. The door where people came in was right next to the stage. So anybody that came in late, remember that, Ginny? Oh, came through that squeaky door and banging that closed. Everybody is looking at them instead of the performance. And actually, the Arts Council had a whole design drawn up for just the Arts Council's space. And then they joined together with the schools. I remember one funny one happening after one of the meetings. Noreen Thompson was kind of a big woman, and of course Jerry was a heavy-set fellow, and somebody suggested that Noreen be the first performance in a tutu, and she said, "I'll do it if Jerry will."
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
So Bob was very instrumental in getting the Arts Council and the school together.
Yeah, that's about the time I came to Kodiak, because we were in the Coast Guard and we went to Anchorage then when we got out. And that's when the Anchorage got the big library and all their mm-hmm. things, right? Because there was all that money.
Was it 1986 or 85?
No, it was closer to 80. It was
before
more like
that,
80.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we came back here 81, the end of 81, beginning of 82. And then I remember we were still living across the street from the high school in what's now was the chiropractic clinic. Uh-huh. I'm not sure what's in there now. But there was an apartment, and we lived there while they were, in my memory, while they were working on the auditorium. I'm not 100% sure, but that's how my memory has it. But I remember that picture that Jerry Martini had of the circles. The circles.
Oh, for the pods?
For the pods, yeah. The main... And it was just such a weird thing to see those big circles in there. And people said, why do we need all these extra space? What do we need it for? There's a lot of times it's full, including when the pods twist around.
Well, the interesting thing about the people who were dissenters is the first performance in the auditorium was a boxing match on a closed circuit TV. So it was a lot of the people that didn't want the auditorium that were first in the audience. Remember that, Ginny?
How could I forget? I was the one who had to sign the use agreement with the Lions Club.
Yes.
And there had to be a lot of interesting, none of this, none of that. You have to have security. I mean, because...
No beer.
Who could you... Yeah, how could you imagine having a boxing match in a theater, you know? Everybody was a little apprehensive. So it was interesting.
And how do you have a boxing match without beer and chips?
Well, right. We did it.
So let's come closer, more recently. I know that Dr. Bob has not been, you know, healthy, but he's lived a good long life. But some of the more recent things that he's been involved in, he was involved with Rotary forever. I mean,
right.
As long as he could possibly be involved with Rotary.
I would say probably he was an advocate for world peace. That was his last really big interest.
That makes sense, yes.
And of course, Rotary has that kind of in mind all the time, too. So he felt that he could do a lot through Rotary to promote peace.
Uh-huh. So tell me, now that he's gone, what are you feeling? I mean, we all knew the time would come, but, you know, you have a special fondness for him, a special memory of him. Jenny?
Well, I'd have to say, when you were asking about more recent contributions that he made, I think the last time that I saw him speak, excuse me, in public was at a borough assembly public hearing regarding Termination Point. And he was right up there talking about why we needed to be able to access that for the public. I mean, he was always interested in whatever good there could be for the public for everybody, not for a specific group of people. And I always appreciated the fact that he was willing to speak at public meetings and with anyone and everyone about forwarding that kind of thing for the public, for the good of the public.
Right. He did do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of issues. And maybe that's the answer there, that if it was good for the public and he was able to support it, then he did. Mm-hmm. Nancy, do you have any special memories or any thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about Marion, too. She was the director at the Baranoff Museum for many, many years. And she and Bob both cared about how the community looks. Mm-hmm. And I would pick him up for Rotary every time for the past several years. And he would comment on what is happening in the community and how nice the grass looked by the Baranoff Museum, and he especially liked the looks of Compass Suites, thought that was a nice addition to the community, always picking out something good that was going on.
Something nice to say.
Yes.
Yes, and he would do that to me at Rotary. He would say nice things to me. And I thought, okay, thanks, Dr. Bob. You know, kind of like, I don't know. I'm thinking, do I look like I need a little cheering up or what? Or is he just being Dr. Bob? But he did that a lot. He would just, and he would say something personal, you know? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't just say, oh, you look nice. He would say, you look nice. I like what you're wearing. It brings out your eyes or something like
yes.
that. Yes. Not like, oh, you know, superficial.
And he was always pointing out those waterfalls on the way out to the airport.
Yeah. He would see things. Yeah. That maybe we missed.
Right.
Yeah. So this has been great talking with Nancy Kemp and Ginny Shank. Memories, old memories, that's of Dr. Bob, who passed away recently, and who was a big involvement in the community in so many ways. And mm-hmm. we've been talking just about the arts, but in so many ways he was. So thank you both for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thanks.